recorded by John. I'm going to begin at verse 11 and read down through verse 18. Very familiar and very important. Perhaps more important than it is familiar. But if you have your Bible, please join me as we read, beginning at verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now that's my lesson for this morning. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. My subject title for today will be Redeeming Love. Redeeming Love. I think that's a marvelous thought, that God loved us enough to provide redemption for us. I do desire an interest in your prayer, because I know that this subject is far above my ability today. It's deeper than I am. But I also know that God love the world. And I know that God gave his Son to come to the world. And his Son paid the price for our redemption. And as I was meditating upon this, I came to the conclusion that everything I've preached over the last 63 years is based upon redeeming love. Whatever the subject may have been, the basis and the foundation behind it was redeeming love. It may have been indirect, or it may have been directly concerning the love of God. And I also believe that the Holy Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, everything it says points either directly or indirectly to the redeeming love of God. And so it's really a big subject, and you can understand why that I realize that I don't have the ability, you know, that I need to explain everything about it. I wouldn't stand up here and tell you I know all about this subject, because I don't. But I'll tell you one who does, the Almighty God. He knows the end from the beginning. We read over in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 46, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going to turn over there just for our benefit and read this verse of scripture to you. Isaiah chapter 46. And this is what he said. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring, I want you to listen to this verse, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are yet not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. You see, though I don't know the fullness and the completeness of this subject that I'm going to deal with today, Almighty God does. We believe this, that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. They were without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God spoke the words, let there be light, and there was light. And I know the world don't believe that today for the most part. But I know that the Word of God is the truth. And God's Word is forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. It means the same thing today that it meant the day that it was spoken. And so I want you to think about this. We read in the Bible about Adam, the very first man. Now my subject is redeeming love. I want you to stay with me. We read in the Bible about the very first man. He was created from dust. He was placed in paradise. The Garden of Eden was a paradise. Everything that he would ever need or dream of was in the Garden of Eden. And he was placed in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible tells us that he was created finitely holy. That he wasn't infinitely holy like God is, but he was finitely holy. He had never sinned, and that's why he was holy. It wasn't that he didn't have the ability to sin, but that he never had sinned. And he hadn't sinned until he broke the law of God. The Bible said that the transgression of the law is sin. And God had given to him one law. This man in paradise only had one commandment that was given to him. And he chose, and I want to emphasize that, he chose to break that law. He was not predetermined that he would break it. God gave him a choice. He said to Adam, said, I have planted this tree in the midst of the garden. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And good and evil, there's a lot spoken in the Bible about choosing good or evil. Adam chose evil. He didn't have to do what, he didn't have to break that law. God said, I've planted this garden. It's in the midst of the garden. I don't want you to eat of it. In the day you eat of it, you'll die. Did he have a choice? Of course he had a choice. He could have refrained. He could have obeyed God, but he chose to disobey God, and he became a sinner. And when he became a sinner, he not only became a sinner, but he plunged all of his posterity into sin. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. Perhaps we don't want to acknowledge that we're sinners, but we are. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one that doeth good and sinneth not, the Bible said. So we're all sinners. And we're all the sinners as the result of the sin that Adam committed. When we were born with Adam's nature. His nature was a sinful nature. And although I believe that God had redeemed Adam from his sins, I believe that when God slew that animal and made coats of skins to cover him and his wife Eve so that their nakedness would not show, I believe that was a type of being saved. And I believe that God redeemed him with the blood of an animal in type. His redemption, his actual redemption and forgiveness of sin was through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But it was manifested in a type because it was some 4,000 years before Christ came. Although he had been promised, yet he didn't come until the fullness of time when God brought his son into the world. But anyway, I want you to see the source of sin. The source. Adam, he voluntarily, by transgression, he fell from that sinless state that he was in. And he became a sinner. And even after his sins were forgiven, he still had that sinful nature. And when he went in into Eve and she conceived and brought forth a son, that little baby had a sinful nature and stood in need of redemption. I want you to think with me this morning, because I feel like this is really important. And so I don't understand all the works of God from the beginning. But I'm so glad and thankful that we have the Word of God and that it is plain and it is simple. Simple enough that even those of us who are perhaps weak-minded, we can still understand that God loves us and that God provided a means whereby we could be redeemed. We could be made back. Now, what I started to say a while ago, Romans chapter 7 says, in the language of Paul himself, he said, I am sold under sin. That was Paul, an apostle, a man who had been a blasphemer, who had been injurious to the church, who had tried to destroy the church. He became acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he experienced the redeeming love of God, and his sins were forgiven, and he was saved by the grace of God. And so he said that I still have this sinful nature, though I have been redeemed and I have been saved and I have been delivered from the consequences of my sin. I still have this sinful nature about me, and there are times when I would do good, but I do evil. And there are times, when I would do evil, nature of mine, when I would do good, this nature prevents me from doing it. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" He said. And then the next verse says, thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to the Lord for redeeming him from sin. And so, I want you to think about redeeming love. God, it was a great expense to God the Father to redeem us from sin. We were sold. Adam sold us out. Sold under sin. I want you to picture with me for a few moments, if you will, a slave market. and people who have been captured and in shackles, standing before the auction block, being sold to the highest bidder to become slaves. And you know, that's what happened. We were sold as slaves to sin. We sin. We don't want to sin, but we do sin. And like Paul said, it's in our nature, and we still sin. But God paid a great price to redeem us. Now, you just pray for me. I need your prayers. Redeeming love means to recover ownership by paying a specific sum, that is a ransom. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, while He was here in the world, 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, He said that He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom. And so the Lord Jesus, death was the ransom price. The Lord Jesus, He gave His life as a ransom so that you and I could be freed from the bondage of slavery, the slavery of sin. Now, the wages of sin is death, you know. But the gift of God is eternal life, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when the Lord ransoms us from the bondage of slavery, we become children of God. He recovers us and restores us to this place of honor as a child of God. We're born of the Spirit and redeemed by His grace. And we become children of God. And we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer under the condemnation of sin. Now, the lesson I read a while ago, it says, and Jesus said, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You see, being condemned and lost and separated from God. I read that the wages of a life that's lived in sin and as a slave of sin is death. That's the end of a life of sin is death. But the Lord Jesus, He came and He died, and He died for us as individuals. He took the penalty for our sins. We're the ones that should die and should be cast into the regions of the damned. We're the ones who have violated God's laws and who have broken them and who have wandered far away from God. We're the ones that should have to pay for the choices that we make. Listen, Jesus paid for it in our behalf by giving His life. And so God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You know what? I think a lot of people don't want to go to church because they feel condemned. I think a lot of people don't want to be around preachers of the gospel. Don't want to hear the word of God preached because it condemns them, you see. Oh, but listen, once you have been redeemed and you have been forgiven and you have been set free and you're no longer under the bondage of sin, you have freedom and you have liberty, you see. And so he said he sent him not to condemn the world. You know, everybody from birth is under the condemnation of sin. That's the truth. That's the truth. Under the condemnation of sin. Babies and people that don't have the faculties for understanding the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the provision that God has made, God don't hold them accountable. Don't hold them accountable. Because God holds each of us accountable for ourselves, you see. And they can't understand that they're sinners and that they're under condemnation. But the time comes in everybody's life, you know, when you realize, you know, that I'm not right in the sight of God. And from that point, you're responsible for what you do. You're responsible for your own soul. For whether you come to Jesus or not. For whether you repent of your sins or not. For whether you get saved or not. You're responsible for your own actions. Adam was responsible for his actions, wasn't he? He surely was. God said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll die. And he did. He became separated from God because of his sins. And that's what spiritual death is. Being separated from God because of your sins. So, he that believeth is not condemned. God forgives sin. And when God forgives sin, he removes the condemnation. And he sets you free. The Bible said, if the Son shall make you free, then shall you be free indeed. That means really free. Really free. And so, to redeem is to save a person from their sinful state and its consequences. You know, those who have been redeemed by love divine, they have no fear of dying and going to hell. You know, perfect love casteth out all fear. And when we're saved, the Bible says, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And so that fear of dying. Now you, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want to die either. You know, I want to live as long as I can. I'm looking forward to my birthday next year. There was a man over in Allen County. They was planning a big celebration for him on his 100th birthday. And he was still in good shape. He drove his own automobile and lived by himself and all of those things, you know. And I was in revival over there. And he said, "Preacher, I want you to come to my 100th birthday celebration." And I said, "Well, I would sure like to, but I am obligated for something else, and I can't come." He said, "Well, plan on coming next year then." You know? So that's the way I'm looking at life. I'm expecting another birthday. You know, I'm not expecting, I don't want to die. I'm not afraid to die because Jesus, he took the death penalty for me. Jesus took the death penalty for me. Out of love, pure love, the love of God. It was God's love that took Jesus to the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, perfect in every way. no sin. To die for sinners? Oh, yes. That requires love, don't it? That requires love. Well, Jesus paid the debt in full. He really did. The demands of the debt had been paid, have been paid by Jesus. He paid the debt for us all so that we would not perish. So that we would not perish. There's a song. There is a fountain. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Folks, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. I'm glad that Jesus came and died on the cross. I'm glad that Jesus loved us. I'm glad that the Father loved us. His creation, those sinners in rebellion against God, He still loves them. He wants them to be redeemed from sin so they can live eternally with Him in glory. I was talking about slaves a while ago. The man that wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I read where he had been a slave. He went out into Africa and he rounded up and captured black men. And he shackled them and he transported them, and then he sold them to people who were looking to buy slaves. He was a very wicked man. He was an atheist. He was a blasphemer. And one night on the ocean in a horrific storm, he come to the knowledge that there was a God. He wasn't saved that night in that storm, but that never left him. He learned that night that there is a God. There is a God. And it continued to work on him. And eventually he was saved. And eventually then he became a preacher. Preacher. Preached for 82 years. Somebody suggested that he might ought to retire. His health was getting bad and his eyes were getting bad and his memory was getting bad. They suggested to him, you ought to retire. And he said, what? That old blasphemer from Africa that sold slaves? He said, not as long as I have a voice. On another occasion, he was preaching. And he said, I know that my memory's gone. Just about gone. But I remember two things. Number one, I remember that I was a horrible sinner. And the second thing is, I remember that Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And that's so true of all of us. We were sinners, but by the grace of God, by the grace of God, through redeeming love, the Lord Jesus, He came to this world and He satisfied God for sin. God was pleased with His offering. He made an atonement. He paid the debt for sin in full. And believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not under the condemnation of sin. They've been set free. They've been set free. I'm glad today that I can share with you a little bit. I know I haven't scratched the surface. I haven't. I know that. I know that the love of God and the plan of salvation, there's greater depths to it than I have reached today. But I hope that you can see. If you're here and lost and in your sins, you haven't been saved. You're on your way to death and destruction. And if you don't get saved, that's the way you'll go into eternity. But you don't have to go that way. God has provided a plan of salvation through His Son, Jesus, who died on the cross and shed His life's blood, paid the debt for sin in your behalf, so that if you will acknowledge your sins and repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, believe on Him with all your heart, He'll forgive you, and all of that debt will be erased, and you'll be free, and free indeed. I pray God will bless the message today. And I pray today that if you're lost, that it's found its way into your heart. I want to give you an opportunity today to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He can be found. You know, we have no assurance of life. We don't have any assurance of life. We don't know what another day will bring forth. People die suddenly all the time without any warning. No time, you know. God's given you this time. He's given you this opportunity. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to experience the redeeming love of God for yourself. I love to hear other people tell about what the Lord has done for them. But I tell you, I love to feel and know what the Lord's done for me. You know? And salvation is a feeling way. I've heard Brother Strode say that lots of times. It's a feeling way. It is. You feel the condemnation. You feel the burden of sin. And when you are forgiven, you feel the relief. And you feel the peace of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes into your heart. It is a feeling way. And I pray today that God will help you, if you're not saved, to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's have a song. All right. It'll be fine. Amen.